morning. Welcome to Ebenezer's Online Services. We are so glad that you joined us today. We know that Pastor Woods has a timely word for us. Enjoy, be blessed, and please stay safe.
Good morning, Ebenezer family and friends. It's so good to be back together in this virtual world. But we thank God that He is connecting our spirits together because we are saved and we love Jesus and the Holy Spirit, what He's doing in our hearts. I want to just continue to lift up those who are going through bereaved families, those who are having procedures, illnesses, COVID-19 is still out there. So we just want to pray for direction as we go forth and thank God for His grace and mercy. Just a few announcements before we get into the message today. I want to remind you of all of our services. We have 8:45 in-person services at the EBC facility, our 10 o'clock online service, and we have our 10:45 in-person services. For the in-person services, we are using masks and social distancing as best as we can. And we just thank God for all those opportunities to fellowship together and share in the gospel of Jesus Christ. Also, we want to let you know on next Sunday. Next Sunday is Founders Day. Yay! Founders Day / church anniversary for Ebenezer. 121 years. And I am just blessed to be a part of this family. It seems to have come around so quick from last year, but Founders Day, first Sunday in May. And we have some speakers for you for next Sunday. 8:45, Minister Earl Jeffers will be in our in-person services, giving us the word. On our 10 o'clock online, we'll have Reverend Dr. James Rudd, and he's a historian. He's been around a long time and connected with Ebenezer, and so we're looking forward to hearing from him. And then at our 10:45, Minister Curtis Hampton, in our in-person services, will be ministering to us on our 121st Founders Day church anniversary. God has been good to us, and He's kept us together as this portion of body, and He's been saving souls, delivering, and setting free, and I'm just blessed and thrilled by that. Don't forget about our website, ebcnc.com, and our app. Thank you for your giving. I am just blessed. We are blessed as a church as we go forth. God has prepared us and prepared us to be where we are right now. And I'm looking back, and I was thinking about Joseph and how he was moved into his position. And he saw those years of famine were coming, and he was able to put aside some things. And Lord has just blessed us all, and we just need to continue to focus on Him. God loves a cheerful giver, so let's give from our hearts. Remember, we've got so many ways to give now. You can use the app, our touchless solution. You can send it into our secure mailbox, or if you're in-person services, we have actually boxes up now. You just drop it in the box. So God has just allowed us to do a lot of things, and thank you. The scripture God put on my heart comes from Matthew 10:8. It says, "Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse those who have leprosy, drive out demons. Freely you have received, freely give." Matthew 10:8. And that's our calling. That is the church in this season and time, in this darkness, that we go out and we hear the voice of the Holy Spirit. That's what we've been teaching on. And we follow God's directives, and He wants to do miracles in our lives. Well, let's pray together. Father, I just thank You so much for all that You've been doing, Lord. Thank You for 121 years of Ebenezer being established in 1900, Lord. We just thank You for Your mercies and kindness, for all the leaders that You used during that time. Thank You, Lord. Thank You. Father, we praise You for our reasonable portion of our health and our strength. And Lord, as we go through this journey, we just need You every day. Help us to hear Your voice. Order our steps, Lord. And we thank You that today, Father God, that we'll be used in a wonderful, in a mighty way, wherever we are, Lord, whether we are in our living rooms listening, or on our jobs, or we're traveling in our cars, Lord. We want to be used for Your glory. We just give You praise, honor, and glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
As soon as I stop worrying how my story ends, and I let go and I let God, I let God have his way, that's when things start happening. When I stop looking at back then, and I let go and I let God, I let God have his way. I couldn't seem to fall asleep. There was so much on my mind. I was searching for that peace, but the peace I could not find. So then I knelt down to pray. I was praying, help me please. Then he said, you don't have to cry, 'cause I'll supply all your needs. As soon as I stop worrying how the story ends, and I let go and I let God, I let God have his way, that's when things start happening. When I stop looking at back then, and I let go and I let God, I let God have his way. I couldn't seem to fall asleep. There was so much on my mind. I was searching for that peace, but the peace I could not find. So then I knelt down to pray. I was praying, help me please. He said, you don't have to cry, 'cause I'll supply all your needs. As soon as I stop worrying how the story ends, and I let go and I let God, I let God have his way, that's when things start happening. When I stop looking at back then, and I let go and I let God, I let God have his way. So just let go and let God. Let go and let God. You gotta let go and you gotta let God. Oh, let go and let God. You gotta let go and let God. You gotta let go and you gotta let God. You gotta let go and you gotta let God. Oh, let go and let God. Oh, let go and let God. You gotta let go and you gotta let God. You gotta let go and let God. Oh, let go and let God. Oh, let go and let God. You gotta let go and you gotta let God. You gotta let go and let God. Oh, let go and let God. As soon as I stop worrying how the story ends, and I let go and I let God, I let God have his way, that's when things start happening. When I stop looking at back then, And I let go and I let God. I let God have his way.
What a wonderful journey that we've been on as we've been talking about the Holy Spirit, which was introduced in Genesis chapter 1, that verse 1 and 2. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And then it goes on, the earth was without form and void, and darkness was over the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. And we've been dealing with the power of the Spirit. And I pray as we've been going from the Old Testament, now we're in the New Testament, that really you have become more cognizant of the Holy Spirit. As a believer, we must be intimately acquainted with the Holy Spirit. And so often we go through our lives and we are not aware of the Holy Spirit wanting to move in a miraculous way. So I pray that these teachings have really assisted you in growing closer to the Lord. And thank God for Jesus, what he's doing for us. Let's pray. Father, I just thank you. Thank you for this word today. Lord, I'm amazed at your word, how powerful it is. Lord, thank you for changing our lives. Thank you, Lord, for just moving in our lives. Thank you for saving souls. I pray for those who are looking and listening in right now. If they don't know you, Lord, would you help them to confess with their mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in their heart that, Father, you've raised them from the dead and you said they would be saved. Let them know it's by grace through faith and not of themselves. It's a gift from you. Help them to receive that gift today. Now, Lord, would you forgive me of my sins and cleanse me of all unrighteousness? Therefore, Holy Spirit, I welcome you. Thank you. Would you teach us and guide us and lead us into all truth? Would you make this word so plain, so easy to be understood that even a small child can be transformed to be like you? Thank you, God, for your anointing. Thank you for all you're doing in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I'm just thinking about how good God is and his salvation, what he's done in us. Today, I want us to jump into Acts chapter 20 and that 22nd verse. Acts chapter 20 and that 22nd verse. It reads, "And see now, I go bound in the Spirit to Jerusalem, not knowing the things that will happen to me there." Listen to this 23rd verse. "Except that the Holy Spirit testifies in every city, saying that chains and tribulations await me." Wow. I want to speak from a subject today. The Spirit wants to lead you. The Spirit wants to lead you. As we've been on this journey, especially entering in the book of Acts, we've seen the early church grow. We have seen God do miracles, signs, and wonders. We've seen some trouble in the early church with Ananias and Sapphira. But in the midst of that, we saw the first church martyr, Stephen, and a young man, Saul, is holding the coats. He's assistance to that murder that takes place. But there, he is dramatically changed on the Damascus Road from that whole incident. And he's loving God with his whole heart, mind, soul, and strength. And I just want to stop and say, aren't you glad God can save souls, that God can change? There ought to be some hallelujahs, because some of you remember your past life. But when Jesus came into our hearts, oh, what a wonderful change. This is Saul, who has been changed that name to Paul. Paul is going about. He has the first missionary journey, second missionary journey. He is prolific in the word of God because he was a Pharisee in the day. So he has all those texts. Now he has the Spirit of God, and the Holy Spirit is pulling from that. And now we're picking up on his third missionary journey. Paul is an old man, and he has a leading of the Holy Spirit that he should go to Jerusalem. The time frame is actually specific. We can actually look back, and the time frame is about April 29th to May 2nd of 57 AD. So that's like 1,964 years ago. And I thought it was interesting, even as we're in that season, because this week we would be entering into that time span that Paul the Apostle actually does this teaching. He's getting ready to go through some serious tribulations, but we actually can hear the personality traits and even the voice of the Holy Spirit in a magnificent way by using this apostle Paul. Let's jump into this section, Acts 20, 17 through 19. From Miletus, he sent to Ephesus and called for the elders of the church. And when they had come to him, he said to them, "You know, from the first day that I came to Asia, in what manner I always lived among you, serving the Lord with all humility, with many tears and trials, which happened to me by the plotting of the Jews." Our first point, very, very point to the right to the point. I want to make sure you get this. Practice what you preach. Practice what you preach. A lot of P's there. Practice what you preach. This is critical within our lives as we think about the leadership of the Holy Spirit. And so often we can say things, we can put forth ideas, but we don't follow through with what the Lord has spoken into our hearts. Looking closely at Acts 20:18, that second part, it says, "You know from the first day that I came to Asia in what manner I always lived amongst you." How are you living in this world? What is your testimony? What are people learning from your life? Are they truly seeing the Holy Spirit lead you? I was thinking about my dog, my German Shepherd. Many of you, he's 100 pounds, real tall, huge dog. We went to the zoo and some of the wolves, my dog is bigger than the wolves that they had there. And I was thinking about in our training sessions, we needed to train the dog that we wanted to lead him. Because of his nature, he always wants to be out front. He wants to drag us along. And we went through a lot of processes. And so we had a leash on him, and that leash, we had to teach him, hey, you don't go past us. We are leading you. You're not leading us. And so often in our lives, we're saved and the Holy Spirit is on the inside, but we go out in front of God, in front of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is saying, you know what? When you get out in front of me, there are going to be problems. There are going to be issues, but God has allowed me to dwell on the inside of you through Jesus Christ. And if I lead you, I can get you through those valleys and those mountains. And here is what Paul is showing us as we look closely at that 20 and 19. He says, serving the Lord with all humility. This is beautiful. Paul the Apostle gives a testimony within the epistles. He says, I was a Pharisee of a Pharisee. In essence, he had a doctorate of a doctor's degree, all of those things. But he said, I served you in humility. It wasn't about who I was. It wasn't about what I could memorize. It wasn't about the authority I carried. It was about God being exalted. C.S. Lewis, he actually captures the word of humility. He said, humility is not thinking less of yourself. It's thinking of yourself less. Isn't that heavy? I want to read that again. Humility is not thinking less of yourself. It's thinking of yourself less. How much, as said before, do we exalt ourselves that we get ahead of the Holy Spirit? Jesse Jackson had this very powerful quote. He says, never look down on anybody unless you're helping them up. Amen. Hallelujah. The Holy Spirit wants to lead you. And we're in a season and a time that God is using the church in a beautiful way, but we have to submit to the will of God via the Holy Spirit. Let me show you in Acts 20 and 21, how I kept back nothing that was helpful, Paul says, but proclaimed it to you and taught you publicly from house to house, testifying to Jews and also to Greeks, repentance towards God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. Here's another point. Always helping, always teaching. Always helping, always teaching. This is a signature of the believer's life. As we become more intimate with God's presence and His Holy Spirit, we are always helping, always teaching. Look at that in Acts 20 and 20. He says, how I kept back nothing that was helpful. And then that second part, he says, taught you publicly and from house to house. God has given us so much via the Holy Spirit. Our lives are actually walking textbooks. Yes, people are learning from us. And I pray as we're getting closer to the Lord, they're learning more about Christ. They're learning more about God's power and what He can do. And most importantly, that He's in the business of saving souls. The Holy Spirit wants to lead you. Look at this, Acts 20, 22 and 23. And see, now I go bound in the Spirit to Jerusalem, not knowing the things that will happen to me there, except that the Holy Spirit testifies in every city, saying that chains and tribulations await me. This is a heavy one because oftentimes we just kind of focus on the good things. You know, God's going to bless me. He's going to prosper me. But this point really hits home on this. Warnings from the Holy Spirit. Warnings from the Holy Spirit. Now, looking closely at that 23rd verse again, it says, the Holy Spirit testifies in every city, saying that chains and tribulations await me. What would be your reaction to the Holy Spirit letting you know that? And it's not just in you, but the Holy Spirit speaking through others and saying, you're going to have tribulations. You're going to have pains. You're going to struggle. And we'd be like, not me. No, I'm not going through that, because we want the good life. But here, Paul, the apostle, he embraces that, hey, this is the Holy Spirit leading. This is the Holy Spirit guiding. And some could have even took this, if they took it in their own self, that the Holy Spirit was telling him, don't go that way. Don't go to Jerusalem. But Paul says, I've heard the voice of the Spirit, and though he's warned, he's put these warnings out, I know that I'm in God's will. Jesus stated in Luke 9:62, but Jesus said to him, no one having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. Yes, we are going to have some tough days. We're going to have some stressful times in our lives, but I'm so glad that the Holy Spirit is leading us. He wants to lead us. Paul writes later, being led of the Spirit, in 2 Timothy 1:7, he says, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but a power and of love and of a sound mind. Hallelujah. Even in these days of times of stresses, and we've never been here before, and with COVID-19 and racial disparities and all these issues cropping up, aren't you glad that God has put His presence on the inside of us via the Holy Spirit, and we don't have to fear? That put it in your chat. Hallelujah. We don't have to fear. We can have the peace of God that goes beyond all understanding. And there's some of you that have been struggling with some things, but I want you to know, if you hear God, everything's going to work out. You may have to go through some issues, as said before, but everything is going to work out. All things work to the good of those who love the Lord and are called according to His plan and His purpose. Look at this, Acts 20, 24 and 25. Paul says, but none of these things move me, nor do I count my life dear to myself, so that I may finish my race with joy and the ministry which I received from the Lord Jesus to testify to the gospel of the grace of God. And indeed, now I know that you all, among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God, will see my face no more. Wow, that's heavy. Here's another point. The Holy Spirit enables you to finish your race. Yes, that's good news. The Holy Spirit enables you to finish your race. This is critical here, that He enables us not just to get halfway, but to get all the way to the finish line. As we look closely at that 24th verse, Paul says, but none of these things move me, nor do I count my life dear to myself, so that I may finish my race with joy and the ministry which I receive from the Lord Jesus. Saints, our lives should be all about glorifying Jesus. It should all to be about lifting him up. And so often we're focused on what we want and what we desire. And yes, God does bless us so much, and there ought to be some shouts out. He has blessed us so much, but ultimately it all comes to the point that he be glorified and lifted up. Don't forget about Romans 12:1. It says, I beseech ye therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Are you hearing me? Which is your reasonable service. God says, I want all of you because I've saved all of you, and I've got a wonderful plan specifically for your life. The Holy Spirit wants to lead you. He's left us here for that purpose, to glorify God, and that purpose alone. Paul gives us this epitaph of this idea in 2 Timothy 4:6. He says, for I'm already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure is at hand. 2 Timothy 4:7, I fought the good fight, I've finished the race, I have kept the faith. The Holy Spirit wants to lead you. 2 Timothy 4:8, finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day, and not to me only, but also to all who have loved his appearing. Do you love his appearing? I'm telling you, it's getting closer. He's coming back. And it says when he comes back, he's going to be on a cloud where every eye can see him. As I look at the darkness that's upon the face of the earth, I am so glad to be called of God in these times, because God has put his light on the inside. The Holy Spirit wants to lead us. I'm telling you, in this season and time, he wants to use you. Look at Acts 20:26-27. Paul says, therefore, I testify to you this day that I am innocent of the blood of all men, for I have not shunned to declare to you the whole counsel of God. Here's another point. Don't hold back. If you're in the chat out there, just type it out. Don't hold back. This is critical, because in this politically charged season, man, we're having to think about what we're going to say, how we're going to say, are we going to offend somebody? We're trying to figure all these things. That's why we've got to hear God's voice. We've got to make sure that the Holy Spirit is leading us. Look closely at this, Acts 20:27. For I have not shunned to declare to you the whole counsel of God. Saints, as we look at this season and time, are we conforming to the world? Yes, are we allowing the world to set our standards, or are we in the God's word and willing to stand up for God's word and not hold back? Let me just put some issues out that you really need to decide where you stand on, because the world is trying to change our minds. What is your stand on abortion? What is your stand on homosexuality? What is your stance on gossip? What is your stance on fornication? What is your stance on racism? What is your stance on greed and gluttony? What is your stance on honoring your mom and dad? Yeah, that's a list. I could have went on and on and on. Basically, as the Spirit is speaking to my heart, what is your stance when it comes to the Word of God? And are you willing to stand on God's Word, or have we been holding back? Yes, we're going to love, and we're going to reach out to all of those, because we know love because God first loved us. But God has put some standards in his Word, and we've got to stand strong in this season and time as pressures of the enemy is coming upon us. God used the prophet Ezekiel to give us an understanding of not holding back. Ezekiel 33:1-2-3, it says, again, the word of the Lord came to me, saying, son of man, speak to the children of your people and say to them, when I bring the sword upon a land, and the people of the land take a man from their territory and make him their watchman, when he sees the sword coming upon the land, if he blows the trumpet and warns the people, look at Ezekiel 33:4. This is key. When he sees that sword coming, the watchman has got to blow that trumpet. Then whoever hears the sound of the trumpet and does not take warning, if the sword comes comes and takes him away, his blood shall be on his head, his own head. God has made us watchmen. Ezekiel 33:5, he heard the sound of the trumpet, but did not take warning. His blood shall be upon himself, but he who takes warning will save his life. This is heavy. Ezekiel goes on in that sixth verse, but if the watchman sees the sword coming and does not blow the trumpet, and the people are not warned, and the sword comes and takes any person from among them, he is taken away in his iniquity, but his blood I will require at the watchman's hand. Are you blowing the trumpet, or are you holding back? Saints of God, this is the season and time that we have to stand on God's word in love. But the standard has been set up, and God wants us to blow the trumpet to let the world know that Jesus is real and that he's coming back, that he's saving souls, that we are sinners that are saved by grace. We've got to blow that trumpet loud so the folks will know that God is real in us. Look at Acts 28. Therefore, take heed to yourselves and to all the flock, amongst which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. The Holy Spirit wants to lead you. Here's another point. This is good. The Holy Spirit working in us. God has purchased us with blood. Yes. We have been purchased with blood. Say hallelujah. Hallelujah. This is key. God has paid such a magnanimous price for us. Yes, we are not of ourselves. We have been bought with a price. And that price is actually blood. Yes, blood. Jesus has shed his blood for us that we could understand and be led of the Holy Spirit. And that's why the hymnist brought up that wonderful song. It says, what can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. For my pardon, this I see. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. For my cleansing, this is my plea. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Nothing can my sin erase. Nothing but the blood of Jesus, not of works, 'tis all of grace. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. This is all my hope and peace. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. This is all my righteousness. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. There ought to be some shouts to say, oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. The Holy Spirit wants to lead you. We have been purchased by Christ's blood. Look at Acts 20, 29 and 30. Paul says, for I know this, that after my departure, savage wolves will come in amongst you, not sparing the flock. Also from among yourselves, men will rise up speaking perverse things to draw away the disciples after themselves. Therefore, watch and remember that for 3 years, I did not cease to warn everyone night and day with tears. This is a tough point, and I want to encapsulate what's going on. The point is, the Holy Spirit cries. Yeah, the Holy Spirit cries. We're truly, as said before, living in the last days. Saints of God, there should be something that's pulling on your heart right now as we look at all these things, these murders, horrendous murders, and we see the racism that's going on. We see the our society breaking down, not just in the United States, but worldwide. We see COVID-19 has ravaged so many families. And now in India, they've got spurs of deaths that are going on. And something should pull at your heart. Look at Acts 20:29, that last part. He says, please no church. He says, once I depart, he says, savage wolves will come in amongst you, not sparing the flock. You see that? It's not just on the outside of the walls, it's on the inside of the walls. The enemy is trying to steal, kill, and destroy. Jesus spoke in Matthew 7:15. He says, beware false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves. You will know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? feels the Holy Spirit wants to lead you. He's saying that falseness is going to come in. He's saying that all kinds of sin is going to come in. Murders are going to come in. All of these things are going to come to arise. The enemy is stepping up his attack. And Paul the Apostle saw that it was coming. And saints, we need to open up our eyes. He's attacking on the outside of the church as well as inside of the church. Look at Acts 20:31, that second part. It says, for 3 years, Paul said, I did not cease to warn everyone night and day with tears. The Holy Spirit cries at what's going on in society, cries at what's going on within the churches. He's crying out. He was using the tears of Paul the Apostle, but on the inside, he's moving. And saints of God, there should be some pulling in us, that some tears should be coming out, that there should be some prayer, some intercession that's lifting up to God, because these things make our heart hurt. I remember just a few weeks ago, one of the saints called me, and there was something that happened on TV, and they cried out to me on the phone and said, Pastor, my heart hurts so much. And literally, as they're talking to me, they're crying. I remember sitting in my chair looking at the TV some months ago at the Capitol riots, the insurrection, and those people going in, and the police brutality that was taking place from people, regular people beating up police. And my heart went out when I saw this, and I thought about, these are grown folks, these are intelligent folks that have lost it. And I realized the spirit of Antichrist was coming upon this world quicker than even I thought, and tears began to well up in my eyes. Saints of God, we've got to realize the Holy Spirit wants to lead us, and intercession needs to be poured out of our hearts. We need to realize that these are serious times, and we're going to cry sometimes. Yes, God says in Psalms 56:8 through the psalmist, you number my wanderings, put my tears into your bottle. Are they not in your book? But Revelations gives us good news. We are going to cry, and we're going to go through some struggles, and there are going to be some big mountains that we're going to climb. But Revelation 21:4, there ought to be some shouts about this. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Hallelujah. Put it in the chat. Hallelujah. There should be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There should be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. The Holy Spirit, he wants to lead you. Look at Acts 20:32. So now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance amongst all those who are sanctified. Here's a good point. He's building us up. He's building us up. You got to know that. He's building us up. Even though we see through Paul's life, he's going through some stresses here. He's on a third missionary journey. He's been given foresight that he's going to go through some struggles. God is still building up. And he's encouraging the saints, too, as they're thinking about him and his life, that God is working in us. All things, as said before, are working for the good. As we look closely at that 32nd verse, it says, the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among all those who are sanctified, that separated. God is saying, I'm working in you, and I'm going to show you some things, and I got an inheritance for you. And I know some of you, things have been passed down for you. Maybe your mom or dad or grandpa, they went on to see Jesus and they left some inheritance for you. But God says, I got something that's going to blow your mind. I got an inheritance. I got a place prepared for you, but I've left you here for this season to follow out my plan, that the Holy Spirit can lead you. But we can get excited and have joy in our lives to know that God, when this life is over, God has prepared a wonderful place for us. 2 Timothy 3:16 tells us about us standing on God's word. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. Saints of God, we've got to get into God's word. We've got to allow the Holy Spirit to lead us. And how do we do that? How is our Bible reading time? Yes, how is our prayer time? Are we spending a long time with the Lord in comparison to everything else that we want to do, everything else that's in our life? When we compare our time with God, how is the standard being set up? Yes, God is speaking to my heart that we need to look at ourselves and really think about, what are we spending our time on? Is Jesus truly the priority? Are we just saying that the Holy Spirit is leading us? Are we just saying that we're saved? But when we look at our lives, we are not spending intimate time with God in His Word, praying and worshiping Him. Saints of God, these are some serious times, as said before, that God wants to use His church. Look at Acts 20, 33 through 35. Paul says, I have coveted no one's silver or gold or apparel. Yes, you yourselves know that these hands have provided for my necessities and for those who were with me. I have shown you in every way by laboring like this that you must support the weak. And remember the words of the Lord Jesus that He said, it is more blessed to give then receive. Here's another point. All of these, the Holy Spirit, when He leads us, these traits come out. The spirit of giving. The spirit of giving. Man, when we become acquainted with God and what He's doing, and we're listening to the voice of the Holy Spirit, and He's out front, our giving is taking place, our heart. Look at that. He says, by laboring like this, in that 35th verse, by laboring like this, that you must support the weak. And then that second part, Lord Jesus, that He said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. Isn't that what we've taught, even at Ebenezer, that it's all about the heart? 2 Corinthians 9:7. So let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. Paul said, this is who I am. When I let the Holy Spirit lead, and when I'm getting closer to God, I just want to give and give more. 2 Corinthians 9:8-9. And God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that you always having all sufficiency in all things may have an abundance for every good work. And as it is written, He is dispersed abroad, He is given to the poor, His righteousness endures forever. The Holy Spirit wants to lead us. Yes, let's get to this last section today. Acts 20, 36 through 38. And when Paul had said these things, he knelt down and prayed with them all. Then they all wept freely and fell on Paul's neck and kissed him, sorrowing most of all for the words which he spoke, that they would see his face no more. And they accompanied him to the ship. Here's our final point. The Holy Spirit and prayer. The Holy Spirit and prayer. Looking closer at that 36th verse, I love this. This is beautiful. This is beautiful. A life that is led by the Holy Spirit. We look at this personality trait. It says, he knelt down and prayed with them all. Man, when the Holy Spirit is leading us, it's going to be more about prayer and God's word. We're going to desire to pray. Prayer is going to be foremost on our minds. When is the last time that you were talking to somebody and they were going through and you said, let's pray? When was the last time maybe your children were going through and they were kind of asking advice and you could have given them a lot of advice, but you said, let's just pray? When is the last time that you've been on your job? Maybe a coworker was going through, and I know we've got all these standards that to put forth, but you said, please, let's come aside. I just want to whisper a prayer for you, because the Holy Spirit leading us, He desires to pray. When led of the Holy Spirit, James write this in the 16th verse in the 5th chapter, confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of the righteous man availeth much. Saints of God, please understand, when the Holy Spirit is out in front of us, that's going to be a part of our life, that we desire to pray for people. It's just not the pastors are calling to pray for folks. All of us, we need to be praying for people, because the Holy Spirit is leading us. Isn't that why Jesus came from heaven to earth? To show us the example, what a life lived full of the Holy Spirit was all about. He healed the sick and He raised the dead. He had the spirit of giving. He had the spirit of love that He showed everyone around Him, but yet He did not hold back. He told people, when when they were doing wrong. He went up against the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the scribes. But you know what? He didn't stop right there. He goes to the Garden of Gethsemane. There he cries out to the Father three times and he prays. He says, "Father, not my will, but let thy will be done." He's betrayed by Judas Iscariot. He allows them to beat him all night long. And on that cross of Calvary, he has holes in his head from the crowns of thorns. He has holes in his hands for the nails. He has holes in his feet from the nails. But there he carries it for us. He cries out because the Holy Spirit wants to lead. "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." He gives up the spirit, drops his head in the locks of his shoulder. They peel that body off the cross, put it in a cold tomb. But I'm so glad that he gets up 3 days later with all power and glory, so that we as his saints can be led by the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, "I've got to go away, but when I go away, I'm going to send you the Comforter. I'm going to send you an Advocate. I'm going to see and send you the Paraclete. He's going to be in you. He's going to lead you." Saints of God, it's time to get to know all the wonders and the gifts that God has given us via the Holy Spirit. It's time to get into more prayer. It's time to get into the Word. It's time to say, "God, use me for your glory." Saints of God, this is our season. As I learn more about the Holy Spirit, I'm realizing God is taking us to higher heights. Not just on a Sunday experience or an in-person church service experience, but I'm talking about an everyday, 24 hours, 7 days a week, that we are the church everywhere we go. And we're being led of the Holy Spirit. If you're out there today and you don't know Jesus Christ, you don't know this Holy Spirit that I speak of, this is your opportunity. The scriptures are clear. Confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead. It said you will be saved. Yes, to be saved is to have God's Spirit on the inside of you, and he'll train you. He'll grow you. The Holy Spirit is our teacher. He's our God. He wants to lead you. I pray that today is your day and that you've accepted him. You pray, "God, I'm a sinner. I need you." For the saints out there, I encourage you to get into God's word more and more for yourself. Pray, seek him, and ask the Holy Spirit to guide you and lead you. And as we've seen through this book of Acts, the acts of the Holy Spirit, God's personality comes out and glorifies Christ every time. And the believer that's submitted to the will of God via the Holy Spirit. Man, it is so good to be saved, delivered, and set free. There ought to be some shouts. It is so good to be saved, delivered, and set free. Let us pray together. Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you for the life of Paul the Apostle and the example. But most importantly, I thank you for Jesus, your son, that showed us a life full of the Holy Spirit. God, thank you that by him dying on that cross and being put in that cold tomb, but getting up on the third day, we have an opportunity. He paved the way. He opened the door for your spirit to come on the inside of us. Thank you, God, that he lives within us. Lord, thank you for ordering our steps. Thank you, God, that you prepared a place for us, that the Holy Spirit enables us to finish this race. Help us, Lord, to finish it in your authority and your power, and to finish it well. We give you praise, honor, and glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
God wants to heal you everywhere you hurt. Everywhere you hurt, God will see you through. He'll take the pain away. God shall provide for you each and every day. Just lift your hands and say, "Lord, I need you. I need you right away." God wants to heal you everywhere you hurt. Everywhere you hurt, God will see you through. He'll take the pain away. God shall provide for you each and every day. Just lift your hands and say, Lord, I need you. I need you right away. I love you. I love you. I love you, Lord, today. Because you care for me in such a special way. And yes, I praise you. I lift you up. I magnify your name. That's why my heart is filled with praise. My heart, my mind, my soul belong to you. You paid the price for me way back on Calvary. And yes, I praise you. I lift you up. I magnify your name. That's why my heart is filled with praise. God wants to heal you. Everywhere you hurt, everywhere you hurt, God will see you through. He'll take the pain away. God shall provide for you each and every day. Just lift your hands and say, Lord, I need you. I need you right away. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, God.
The Holy Spirit wants to lead us. That is good news, that He wants to guide us. He wants to be out front. We just have to position ourselves to desire to hear that still small voice. Thank God for being saved. Well, I pray that you've been encouraged by today's message. And as you go through the week, I want you to pray more, get in God's word more, and be led by Him. Until we meet again, you be blessed.